Mike was not privileged enough to grow up in the real good world. So there are songs that he needs to learn that I have not been able to teach him. So glad to see all of you here this morning. And by Darrell's counting, for those of you that don't know, the building is designed into the sheep and the goats. And the sheep have finally outnumbered the goats. Now that's Darrell's. I didn't say that. When I first started, and before I came to preach here, I told the men that after several months, I would probably do some different lessons than what I would do the first several months. And I've been asked several times, what does that mean? That mean after you've done these lessons, you're going to become mean and harsh and cruel? I've always been those things, so that's not going to change. I hope that we have done a good job, at least an adequate job on my part, of helping us remember some truths that Jesus is still King, that He loves us, He wants us to go to heaven, He paid an ultimate price for us, and that He wants us to live happily here and secure in the world to come. In order to do that, there are times when we need to look at truths that I think sometimes are ignored in the world today. And today will be one of those lessons. Now, if I've said enough to get your attention, let's go back, those of you who are older, into days of memory. Any of you have a memory left? Songs have been sung about some of these things. And you realize, if you're my age, even younger, terminology has changed. You remember when gay was a good thing? You remember when we spoke a different language than what people speak today? We've seen the world change. I've often said to my children and even to my grandchildren, I wish you could enjoy some of the simple things about life that I was able to enjoy as a child. You remember when you could go to see a friend, you could walk or you could take a bicycle, and your parents didn't worry about you. You'd be okay. We'd gather up and play ball. And if we got in a fight, we settled it. We didn't have to go get an adult. We learned how to settle our own differences because there was a truth that we knew with our parents. If we went to any parent, it would be settled like this. You don't get to play anymore. And we didn't want that, so we got along. And I've said this many times to people, and my grandchildren especially will look at me kind of, you sure about this, Granddad? I lived in a neighborhood several years where there were five of us, about the same age. And I've had whippings from all five of those men. Any of you remember those days? Where if you got in trouble somewhere, they didn't send you home to your daddy. You just got a whipping right there and it was over with. Things have changed. And not always for the better. Now, some things may be better. But there are things that have changed for the worse. We live in a world today, Mike touched on it. You think anxiety may be at an all-time high? How about stress? You think people live with stress today? How about fear? You live in fear? I don't care how small a school may be today. You send a child to school, there's fear. We've seen enough in our past few years to know that something terrible could happen at any moment. We even live today in fear of somebody walking into our own building and doing something destructive to the building or to somebody here. It happens far too often. You ever long for a simpler life? A more peaceful time? And so the question comes to me, where did it all go wrong? Where did we lose it? Where did we lose those peaceful times? Those good times? Times when kids were free to be kids. And even adults had sanity. Where did it go wrong? You may disagree with me about the answer I'm about to give. But if you will stay with me, I did this lesson and I'm not sure whether it'll be one or two, but I promise you if I see it running over, it's probably going to be two because I don't know what y'all do all the time. By the time I get up here to preach, I don't have any time left if we get out on time. So this will probably be two lessons. Many years ago, thousands of years ago, the God of heaven saw a world in chaos. It started with Adam and Eve, and it grew until there came a day when the whole world seemed to be consumed with one thing: man's inhumanity to man. So sinful did it become that the God of heaven looked down and decided that the very thought and intent of man's heart was continually wicked. And it made God regret that he had ever made us. Now, be careful. Have any of you ever said to a child, "I don't know why I ever had you. You perplex me, you worry me, you upset me." Maybe you've been that child who perplexed a parent or made life so miserable they thought, "Did I sign on for all of this?" Isn't it amazing that when you look at that world pre the flood, that God could only find 8 righteous souls? But there's a promise God made that he would never again destroy the world by flood. So there's a realization we all need to take to heart. There's coming a day when the righteous judge of all the universe will call an end. Somebody wrote, "The hand of time is wound but once." You ever seen those clocks, watches that stop? But you know, somebody, maybe Pete, since he likes watches so much, he takes those watches and he tells me that it doesn't make any difference whether it runs or not. It's accurate. Twice a day. Y'all get that later. But we look at things and we question. When's God going to call a halt to all this? When will it be over? Well, I want to answer two questions. One I know I'll get to this morning. The other one I may start on, but if not, we'll cover it next Sunday morning. But the first thing is, the world has progressed or digressed today to where it is for one simple reason. Man has forgotten who he is. Man has forgotten that he is not the authority. He has forgotten that he is not in control. He has forgotten that he is subject to the will of an almighty God. And when man forgets God, and man has done that through the ages. Go back and read the Old Testament. And how many times did God's people find themselves punished, carried away into captivity, because they forgot God? They went again to the ways of the world, and they forgot God. You know, today, America has more, and I use this term loosely, more churches, percentage-wise in population, than it's ever had in history. And yet the attendance in worship today of churches all over America, percentage-wise, is less than it's ever been. What does that tell you? Man is forgetting God. Many have already turned from Him completely. Many so-called churches have forgotten God, and they have begun to preach strange things. Jesus came into a world that had forgotten God. They had forgotten God in their spiritual teachings. They had forgotten God in morality. They had just turned to their own imagination. So real quickly, let me show you what God did to try to change the world from a world of chaos into a world of stability. You all know the answer to this. He sent that one and only begotten Son of God to die upon a cross. And there He died because man was sinful. He was walking in rebellion to God. He was walking contrary to everything that was righteous and holy. Peter, looking back upon the day when Jesus died on the cross, the day after Peter had joined with the others on the day of Pentecost and had proclaimed that Jesus had come as the Savior, He had paid the ultimate price for your sins and mine. Peter said all who responded to that gospel call. Peter in 1 Peter chapter 1 refers to Christians like this. Pilgrims. Pilgrims. We sing a song sometimes, "This world is not my home. I'm only passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue." How many people today are caught in a world that's all consumed with things? Consumed with pursuing what everybody else is after. Houses and lands and cattle. Money in the bank. Security. We talked about the rich man a few weeks ago who had that in his mind, that now I've made a great harvest and I've got all I need. And now there's laid up for me a time when I can relax. But the voice from heaven came saying, "You're a fool. This night shall that your soul be required of you, and then whose will all of these things be?" Jesus came, and Peter said, "Today, if you have followed Him, that is the Christ, the Son of God, and you have followed Him into the watery grave of baptism, you've been washed from your sins. You've been raised, as Paul said, to walk in a new life. All things are passed away, and behold, all things are become new." The first thing religion has lost today is a respect for the teachings of the Bible. Today, people will tell you, it doesn't make any difference what you believe. Just so you're, and I have a hard time even repeating this, as long as you're honest and sincere, how we ever convince people that they could walk away from what God says in His Word and be honest and sincere is a mystery to me. Those two are diametrically opposed to each other. If I am honest and sincere, then Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. Now Peter says in 1 Peter chapter 2, beginning in verse 9, if you're a Christian today, you know who you are? You're a royal nation, or a royal people, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth His glory. Christians are to be special people. Now, as I said, I'm going to say some things that some people will disagree with. How many times have you heard this said? Well, now you know, preacher, that the church is a hospital for sinners. Doesn't that sound good? Oh, doesn't that sound nice? Friend, that's wrong. What Christians have forgotten today is this. If you have been born again, Paul said to the Romans in Romans chapter 6, did you change? If you've been born again, let those know, if you have become a child of the King, you can no longer live in sin. You can't say, it's okay. I'm covered by His grace. I don't have to worry about it. Is God's grace all sufficient? Yes. And His grace will cover me every time I am willing to fall in humble repentance of the things that I have done amiss. God is great. God is good. As some people say, all the time. Yes, He is. And He ever stands ready to forgive, to cleanse us, and to make us holy. But Jesus died on that cross that we might become children of the King. I may have told you this before. A young man was baptized into Christ, and he took to heart what Peter said about being peculiar people. You think today Christians worry about being different? Or do we want to fit in and be like everybody else? But this young man decided he wanted to be different. So he parted his hair this way, and combed half of it this way, and half of it this way. And somebody asked him, son, why are you doing that? He said, I'm trying to be peculiar. He said, well, aren't you getting tired of combing your hair that way? And the man looked at him and said, well, I'll tell you this, I am getting a little tired of people coming up and whispering in my nose. Y'all didn't get that either. That's not what he's talking about as being peculiar. I want to start with this morning. There was a law that God laid down. When Jesus came and died upon that cross, He commissioned His apostles to preach a message that would bring into existence the kingdom of heaven, the church of the Lord, so that Paul would later say in Romans 16, verse 16, the churches of Christ salute you. Today, you can't keep up with how many churches there are in the world. And somebody is building a new one with a different name all the time. You know what John the Baptist said? Martin Luther is recorded to have said, when people wanted him to start a church and honor him, he said, no. He said, don't you do that. The church belongs to the Lord. But John said this, I'm not the Messiah. I'm not the one you're looking for. You look to Him. I must decrease and He must increase. Churches today, even in their name, who do not give allegiance and authority to Jesus have missed the will of God. Now, a lot of people don't believe that. But the Bible is plain. Man loses his way when he does not honor God. We live in strange times. Today, there are women who get married who retain their maiden name. Now, I want to ask you guys, you going to marry some woman who tells you, "Oh, I love you. I want to be your wife and I'll honor you. I'll respect you. But your last name just doesn't ring with me. I don't really like my maiden name either, but this guy over here's got a name I really like. I think I'm going to take his." Got a woman here that take that today? But people tell me that every day with the Lord. I love the Lord. I want to honor Him, but I like that better. If we don't get anything out of this morning but this, if you go home understanding, believing, and accepting this one truth, I've done my job. If we understand today, it absolutely makes a difference what people believe. And many people don't think so. Just believe anything. Just so you believe something. I want to ask you, y'all know that I stay out of politics, but when we had a president in our country who made the statement after 9/11, after the bombings, and the president at that time made a statement to the nation and said, "We need to be careful. We don't need to be upset with these people because their God is as good as ours." Wrong. Wrong. My Bible tells me there is one God. There is one Lord. And this nation and the church is in trouble when we forget that God is supreme. That He alone is to be honored and obey. How do we honor the Lord? To obey His commandments. And on the day of Pentecost, when Peter preached that sermon along with the other apostles, he called on men to repent and to be baptized. And the Lord added them to the church. He didn't ask for people to vote to see if you want to accept this person or not. He didn't say, "Now y'all need to go through a 6-month or 1-year training deal to see if we want you as a member of the church." The Lord added daily those that were being saved. I suggest to you that the church today has forgotten sometimes to sound a sure, clear word to the world. That as surely as there is one Lord, He died for one body, for one church. I'm going to speak for myself for a minute. I'm not here to tell you that the church that I'm a member of is perfect. Why, it's got people in it. And I'm one of them. And John said in 1 John chapter 1, "Don't you ever get to the point that you say, 'I have no sin.'" But we must hate sin, and we must hate it with a passion. Number one, because sin is the enemy of the soul. It robs us of a right standing with God. Number two, sin is the reason why today your grandchildren, children, know a world that is messed up. Today, go to any school, and what do you find? More children in school who have sometimes one parent who have different last names from the parent who's signing them into school. Somewhere down the line, men forgot God. They forgot His laws and His teaching. And when we did, we sowed the wind and we reaped the whirlwind. Today, churches are not sounding a voice against homosexuality. Some churches are embracing it, ordaining people to preach who live and practice openly homosexuality. Now, brethren, listen to me carefully here. When Christians will tell their children that some singer or a group of singers who are homosexuals, oh, that's great music, let's listen to this, you got a problem. You got a problem. And when I hear Christians say, oh, that movie, yeah, it's got all kinds of bad language in it, and it's got some sex scenes in it, but man, the theme and the plot is outstanding. So we'll just overlook this. We got a problem. And when we say, the Bible says, in Matthew chapter 16, upon this rock I'll build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it. And that one, Peter ushered into being in Acts chapter 2 on the day of Pentecost. And when we say today, as one religious group has written in their preface to their manual, there was a time when there was but one church, but today it's not so. Well, I can say duh to that. That's a reality. But the question is, why? Why is it true today? If this was true then, why is it not true today? Because man has decided he can do with the Bible what he has done with history. You know, we live in a world today where men are rewriting history every day. I don't care what your politics is. When I see people tearing down monuments and things because, oh, that stands for something bad, is there any end to what people will do when they forget where we came from? And here is the reality. Many, many people today religiously have torn down the greatest statue of all. They now despise the old rugged cross. I was in school and college, a school operated by members of the church, when a preacher came to preach a meeting, and I was spellbound. And so one night he invited a bunch of boys over to the dorm, and he began to elaborate on some of his teachings. And then one, as he was talking, he finally said, listen to me, men, young boys, or men. He said, the idea that a man could be saved by blood is barbaric. Don't you ever believe or teach again that we're saved by the blood of Christ. Because that's a fairy tale that somebody wrote into this book that wasn't inspired. And I'm telling you, many people today are basically sounding that word. That we're not saved by the blood of Christ. We're not unique because we hold to that old ragged cross. I told you I'd have to stop. So we'll finish this lesson next Sunday morning. Hopefully, unless I do three instead of two. I hope you understand that what I've said today is not intended to be harsh or unkind. But when I look at my children and my grandchildren, I sometimes have to realize that the influences that affected my kids and my grandkids is sometimes stronger than what I have exerted. And sometimes I talk to my children, often to most of my grandchildren, about granddad may be old-fashioned. He may, to your way of thinking, be out of touch. But God hadn't changed. His truth doesn't change. And I know my heart. I want my children and my grandchildren to be in heaven. And that's not going to happen if we silence the uniqueness of Jesus Christ and his blood that was shed at Calvary, the church that he purchased with his own blood. Acts 20 and 28. Now, your question today is, how important is that to you? Where you want your life? Where you want your children? Where you want your grandchildren? We're going to talk about sin next Sunday and what it's done to our lives and how we combat it. If you're here today and you're a subject to the call of the Master and you need in any way to respond to his invitation, we invite you to do that while we stand and sing.